This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
How was the Philadelphia 76? How was that 2001 doc?
You know what? It was cool. I think it could have been better, like the edits and like matching up the games and like when something happened in a game. Like they could have done a better job with that. But it was cool seeing all those guys. For those who don't know, I was a big Allen Iverson fan. Mm-hmm. I still am. But like Allen Iverson was my guy. And from his freshman year at Georgetown, when I saw him for the first time at the Sacramento Holiday Classic, it was like December 27th, 1994 or something like that. And I said, wherever he goes, wherever this dude goes, I'm a follow in the league. Mm-hmm. Goes to the Sixers, I'm a Sixers fan. Still like the Kings too, but like how I am with the Knicks now, that's how I was with the Sixers.
76ers supporter.
76ers supporter. Mm-hmm. And 2001 was, that was the year. They went to the NBA Finals. Allen Iverson was the MVP. And they told that story. They did a good job of telling like what led up to 2001 because Allen and Larry Brown, well, more so Larry Brown was sick of Allen Iverson. He was done with mm-hmm. him. One yeah. of them traded and wanted him out. The whole story always goes, the trade was done. They needed Matt Geiger to waive his no trade clause. I think it was to go to Detroit. I think mm-hmm. Allen Iverson was going to go to Detroit. And Matt Geiger didn't waive his no trade clause. So Allen Iverson stayed. Then they go into the 2001 season with all that on their mind, which kind of goes into what we talked about earlier, because Allen Iverson always talks about that moment. He was like, oh, bro, they was really ready to get rid of me. Mm. Like, all the stuff they talked, like, that I was dealing with, and because his stuff, he had some off the course, but it was more like not coming to practice or Casamigos, Allen Iverson or something like that, right? Okay. And he was like, man, like, they really was ready to get rid of me. I probably need to shape up.
So
shaped up and has an MVP season.
So before you leave that part, I saw a quote. I don't know if it was in the documentary or if it was from Allen Iverson, you know, talking about the documentary. Mm. But he said the one regret he had in his career was that he didn't listen to Larry Brown sooner. Mm-hmm. Like he was too stubborn. He was too young. He just wasn't listening to him.
Yeah.
And when he did, he feels like the first time that he really listened to Larry Brown was this 2001 season.
Yeah, he talked about that, man. And it really was a great season.
I remember the season. I remember the team. It's certainly, for a normal person, I could tell them, I remember the team vividly. For you, I just kind of remember the team. Like, but I remember the team. The season, I mean, impossible to forget Allen Iverson, impossible to forget the finals.
Yeah.
But I never thought of them as like what was the gist of the doc? A team that missed or like what was it?
So that's the dirty little secret about this whole documentary. It probably didn't need to happen. Okay. I mean, what are we doing
okay.
a documentary on the 2001 season?
All right, I got you. Like I didn't get it. Like,
This is something that a fan could have made and put on YouTube. Like, well, we didn't need it on NBA TV.
Damn. Wow.
I'm just saying.
There was
really nothing outside, if you're not a Sixers fan, there was nothing special about that season.
It's really about Allen Iverson, I'm guessing.
It's Allen Iverson and Larry Brown.
Yeah.
And
both, I'm assuming, actively participated in the doc.
They did. And they both cried at separate moments for separate reasons.
AI is emotional. I believe
very
that.
Emotional.
AI is emotional. Yeah, I didn't.
Iverson will cry at the drop of a dime.
Yeah, he will.
Yeah. But Larry Brown, he had to walk away when they talked about him winning Coach of the Year, and they showed the clip. Dean Smith surprised him and presented the award to him.
Yeah.
And Larry lost it. Like, not then, but talking about that moment.
Yeah.
He lost it, had to get up and everything. That was pretty tough to see. He was like, that was my mentor. That was, you know, from the moment I stepped on the campus of North Carolina, you know, that was my mentor. And so that was pretty tough to see. But it was a good documentary. I enjoyed it. But it made me think. So I said they probably they didn't need one. I'm not going to say they don't deserve one. I'm just going to say they didn't need a 2001 Philadelphia 76er documentary.
It was just interesting because I couldn't figure out, like, so what's the, like, hook of this? Like, oh, it's the greatest team to never win. It's like, well, no, it's not.
No,
like, what is
not.
The hook?
It was very anticlimactic, too, like, as they closed it out. Like, they had that win in game one, an all-time moment, NBA Finals moment. Allen Iverson drops 48, steps over Tyronn Lue, winning overtime.
And then?
And then they just lost the next four games. It wasn't even like, oh, and they battled hard. It's just, no, they lost.
Refresh my memory. Is that the only game the Lakers lost that postseason?
It was.
Yeah.
It was. They swept Portland. No, I don't know who the first round was. Take that back. But the Kings were the second round.
Mm-hmm.
Spurs.
Yeah.
And they lost that game to the Sixers. But it made me think about teams. Are there any other teams in any sports that didn't win that you'd be like, nah, I'd like to see a documentary on those guys? Obviously, the first one that comes to all our minds is the 2002 Kings.
You just do one the next season.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
the next season is I wouldn't want to see 2002, but I probably want to see the next season as well. Yeah, I mean, that would be a sad ending. I think that would be an even more sad ending than 2002.
So you want to see the season where Chris leading into Chris's injury. So I would be fascinated to see the documentary on the Kings that starts with Chris's injury. Mm. Because remember what happened the next year. They're the number one team in the league.
You know, I forget about that. I forget about how good they were the number one team in the league until he came back.
And that's the thing. They're the number one team in the league until he comes back.
Mm.
And they lost the Pacific Division lead in the final weeks of the regular season to the Lakers. I feel like they're we probably know enough people. We could probably do that documentary ourselves. Like, hey, Pete. We just call Pete into the studio. Like, hey, Pete, if you're not busy like August 3rd or something, come into the studio. We call Al Biakani. Like, we've got the strength coach and the head trainer.
Yeah.
Hey, what the hell went on that year? Because remember, that's one, it's microfracture.
Mm-hmm.
And two, we're talking May, April.
That he came back?
No, that he got hurt.
Oh, yeah, he got hurt in May.
To what, February?
Yeah. And microfracture was new.
Microfracture.
It's still not even like, I think they've gone away from microfracture. Like, this
doesn't. Well, no, I don't think they call it that anymore.
Mm.
I think they still do it, but it's nothing. Anytime you get cut open, it's something. Mm. But it's not like this was the kiss of death.
Mm.
It's not that anymore.
No.
It's not that.
Couple in here. Lamar says the 2000 Blazers. That was the team that lost to the Lakers in Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals. Scotty.
Yeah. Shaq pointed at his son, who was talking. It was like 6 months at the time. Yeah,
that was a classic one. That was a classic moment. You know one that I think about to switch sports?
Okay.
The 2012 49ers. That's the year Alex Smith gets hurt, Cap takes over, and they go to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. So you got Harbaugh there. You got the emergent, because you tell the Alex Smith story to get there, Cap, and then that's the Ravens, and Beyonce,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And then the power outage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In that NFC Championship game, they were down 17-0 in the second quarter to the Falcons, and Julio and Matt Ryan were cooking.
Yeah.
They had two touchdowns. One of the second touchdown, the catch touchdown that Julio made was as good as that play in the Super Bowl that he made against the Patriots. Like the toe tap and all this. Mm-hmm. Like it was a dime by Matt Ryan. Julio gets the toes down and everything. And I remember sitting there like, I can't believe they're going to get blown out in Atlanta. I cannot believe it. And they just methodically came back.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Yeah, that was, I love that team. A lot of people in the chat are saying 2012.
I love that idea, by the way, the 2012 49ers. I love that idea. There's layers to that story.
Yeah, that's a good one. A lot of people are saying the 2002 Giants. That hurt me to my soul. I always use the analogy. I think I've said it on the show, but the 2002 Giants are a cut that you had to get stitches for, because the cut heals, but the scar is there forever. And they didn't win three championships, and every Giants fan like 2002 still hurts to this day. To this day. That was tough. That's right, Alex. Jeff Kent and Barry Bonds fought that year. You ever seen that clip?
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
Fought in the dugout.
Absolutely. Yeah.
In San Diego.
I remember when that happened.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be an interesting one.
You guys think the 07 Patriots would be a good one? Probably one of the best teams that never won a ring.
That's the 17-0. Yeah.
Have they
like,
done anything on them? Has anybody ever?
I don't think so.
Well, so two teams I thought of. I did think of the 17-0. I don't know how that was covered in the man in the arena bit.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
Because I did not watch a single episode of that. I'm not saying where there's good or bad. I did not watch it. So I don't know how that like was covered. I feel like it was probably covered from a Patriots perspective. And I feel like the 94 Bulls would be interesting. Because that team was really good, and they lost in such sketchy fashion to the New York Knicks.
They did.
But I think that
Hubert
would
Davis.
I can't remember the last, like, how that was incorporated into The Last Dance. I know it was there.
Yeah, it was a little moment. You know?
Yeah.
They would always cut off for a little bit.
Right. But I've always found that team fascinating, because that was a championship caliber team.
Yeah. I find, in hindsight now, I find those Knicks teams interesting. At that time, I did not like the Knicks.
The 93, 94.
Like 92, 93 yeah. Knicks, the ones that would lose to the Bulls all the time. I was a Jordan fan. I was a Bulls fan. I hated the Knicks. I hated John Starks or whatever. That team pushed Michael Jordan when he was, like, invincible. I know a lot of people say Detroit, but that was before he like learned how to win, right?
Yeah, the Charles Smith game,
93
in the Garden, where the
Smith blocked
again. was that the series the Knicks were up 2-0?
The Knicks were up 2-0. They had home court.
Yeah,
2-0.
And then the Bulls won.
Went back to Chicago to tie it at 2, and that was Game 5.
Yeah, in the Garden, and then they won. So they ultimately
won
4 straight.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that. That whole Knicks era, I know there's been a couple of things, I think, done on that team. Because I remember, I forgot what it was, but somebody was talking about John Starks game 7, 94 against Houston. And so it's been talked about a little bit, but.
Charles Smith was right at the basket. Like, I'm just thinking about that play. He's right at the basket.
He blocked three times. That was crazy. And then, because it was in that. They talked about this aspect in that Pacer, the 30 for 30 where it's Spike Lee or whatever. Mm-hmm. But remember when the Knicks went to Indiana to win game 6? Did you see that documentary with Spike and Reggie?
Yeah.
And they talked about Spike was talking about the KKK. He thought the KKK might have been around, or maybe he was half joking, but he was like, yo, it was vitriol in there, mm-hmm. and I was sitting courtside. Mm-hmm. And the Knicks went in there and won, and John Starks go over to him and daps him up. Yeah. One side said, come on back to New York, all this other stuff. I like that Knicks team in hindsight. At the time, I didn't like them. But
Sam Thomas mentions the 73-9 Warriors. I'm going to be completely honest. Not super interested in that one. Mm. But what about the Kevin Durant version of the Warriors?
The one that lost to Toronto?
The one that wanted to kill Draymond Green. That one. the what was it, David that West? Was,
yeah.
The knows what we went through.
Well, they won.
Well, that's right. I'm sorry. My bad. They lost.
You're like the people earlier this week.
I see me. I missed it.
When I said, what shot was kind of like, dude, somebody was like, Vince Carter against the Sixers. Sir, he missed that shot.
No. I got lost in the conversation and forgot the gist of them was losing.
Yeah. I wouldn't like to know what happened. What the hell David West was talking about.
No.
Yeah. But
the year they lost to Toronto, like, there's injuries everywhere. Like, if you told a 2-year arc, it'd be interesting. Yeah. But
But the one they lost to Toronto, I mean, that's when KD and Draymond had their thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'd like to hear that. Boogie was on that team. Boogie got hurt.
Boogie was the reason they won one of their games.
He was balling.
Yeah, he was huge.
Yeah, I don't want to say specific. I felt like 10.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was like. 10, 11, and something like that. He was a big reason they won.
Yeah.
If not the reason they beat Toronto.
Yeah.
All right, so we should end the conversation now that I'm messing it up.
Well, I mean, we can't end it before Ramsey saying the 15-16 San Jose Sharks.
There you go, Ramsey.
Who's watching that?
We'll all tune in. We'll all password share on NHL League Pass so we can watch the
Who's watching that one? Although one of the great
is the shark breaking the chains in that one. Can we do a documentary on that?
Now Ramsey does redeem himself because I don't know if you go all 3 years, but the year they lost in the Super Bowl, that Raiders. When they lost the Buccaneers.
The trade.
And Barrett Robbins.
Oh, yeah.
Disappeared. Everything.
Yeah. The trade. There's a lot there,
That whole year, you know, finally getting over the hump and getting to the Super Bowl. That would be a good one, too.
We did a sticker stop. Y'all might not know what this is. Yeah, we used to put bumper stickers on cars, right? So the thing was, come through whatever place it was, we'll put a KSFM bumper sticker on your car. But you let us do that. You enter to win tickets for the Super Bowl.
Mm.
And it was one of the biggest events that wasn't a concert I've ever been a part of. Just thousands and thousands of cars for hours and hours and hours. Man. And we sent somebody to that Super Bowl. And I saw the tickets. That's a Super Bowl. Back when you actually had tickets, they were incredible. Oh, just to hold them is amazing.
Well, they have
amazing
logos and stuff.
Yeah, it was amazing.
One they have now.
Like, yeah, they're thick and this is dope. And you got to, you got to tune into the radio at 5:00. You announced the name and came by the studio, put them in their hands, and they went to the Super Bowl.
Football was going crazy out here that year because that was the same year the Niners had to come from behind wild card win against the Giants, so they were good, and then the Raiders went to the Super Bowl.
Coming up. I'm seeing the same name over and over and over again at 24. And I don't know if this is just a mock draft thing, if this is truly a projection, or if literally everyone is being lazy. We'll explain when D'Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
D'Lo and KC continues. Streaming live on the Odyssey app.
Damien.
Yep.
Your thoughts on Oscar De La Hoya?
I don't have any. I don't get that dude at all. Like, yeah, he. I don't hear anyone say anything good about him, ever.
Only Mario Lopez and Steve Kim, which explained, like, when you were like, really? We got to get rid of Mario Lopez? Just think about that for a second. Yeah, we got to get rid of Mario Lopez.
I've interacted with Mario a couple of times. He was good to me.
Seems like a nice guy, but,
yeah,
boy, you know, you remember that time in history when everybody kind of started showing their true colors?
I do.
We started to see what AC Slater was really about.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna trust you.
He's not overly overt.
You acted with Mario like 15 years ago. I'm not going to hold on to it.
He's not overly overt, but the people he aligns himself with and he co-signs says a lot about you.
Okay. I got you. So we canceling Saved by the Bell, or?
I'm not ready.
Not going that far. Okay, I got you. I got you. You know, speaking of television, this kind of got put on the back burner yesterday for reasons I'm not really sure, but it happens on this show. See, Shannon Sharpe is leaving Undisputed.
I did.
This is an interesting
Skip.
Huh?
What happens to Skip?
Well, I was reading a lot of articles on Skip this morning. Let's get to Chicago first, man, and then we'll get back to that. 916-909-1320. Chi-Town, what's happening, baby?
What's up, fellas? Happy Friday.
Indeed. Likewise, Brody.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So let me stay on track. So I want to go back to what y'all was talking about with the Knicks and the Bulls back in them days. Mm-hmm. Been out some good basketball. So hypothetically speaking, without the Bulls and Jordan being a factor, between the Knicks and Indiana and Detroit and Cleveland, man, who's going to be the king? Because them dudes was lethal, bro. Reggie Miller, lethal. Pat Ewing, lethal. Like, them dudes, it was just because of Jordan and whatever special stuff he had going on, man. But I'm going to say Reggie Miller in Indiana, bro, because that boy will shoot your lights out, man. And then I want to say Mr. KC.
Yes,
so
sir.
With your basketball background and, you know, having a little game, if you was a professional right now and you could get drafted, what team would you want to go to and why?
Well, aside from the Kings, because I never subscribed to, like, the Kevin Durant. I'm never playing at home. Like, I'm the opposite. I would love to play in my home. So the Kings would be number one, but I'll answer outside of the Kings.
The Knicks.
You know, look, man, the Knicks for sure. It's a tie between the Knicks and I wouldn't want to play for the Lakers, but I'd want to play in L.A. And then you wouldn't want to play for the Clippers.
So you want to play in LA, but you don't want to play for the Clippers.
I don't want to play for the Lakers.
What are you going to play for the Sparks?
I don't think you meet the requirement.
I can't play it. That's the whole point is
can't
play in LA.
So who were you going to play for?
I can't play in LA, but I would want to play.
But you
LA.
Brought it up. You felt the need to bring it up.
LA.
Can you just say it?
I ain't playing.
Okay. Lake Show.
I don't want to play for the Lakers.
Nah.
And then if you're in LA, you don't want to play for the Clippers.
Look it. Just showing your ass to everybody. Look
well,
at
no,
this.
Well, no. You guys aren't listening. I'd want to play in LA, but I don't want to play for the Lakers. Then you got the Clippers.
Who you don't want to play for.
Well, if you don't want to play for the Clippers if you're in LA.
What, you going to go Eli Manning if you get drafted by the Lakers?
Yeah. Yeah, I would.
You would not go to the Lakers. You are a liar,
bro,
dude.
I wouldn't go to the Lakers.
You a liar.
Just like I wouldn't let Reese go play for the Dodgers.
You a liar, dude.
If I played baseball, I wouldn't want to play for the Dodgers, bro. I couldn't do it. I know a guy I went to high school with.
Reese gets drafted by the Dodgers. You're turning into Archie all of a sudden.
He's going to college. He get drafted out of high school by the Dodgers. He going to college.
Casey, this is sad. Just say it. Just say I would play for the Lakers. We all know it. Just say
playing,
it.
No, I ain't playing for the Lakers, bro. I'm pulling
You're
to Eli.
Such a liar.
I'm pulling to Eli.
Kenny pulls up to the press conference. He's got his old Nick Van Exel jersey on.
One of his.
I had a Kobe jersey.
I was going to say one of your several Kobe Bryant jerseys. However, we have established on this program, Kobe Bryant gear is not Laker gear.
No.
It's not the same thing.
Kobe was different.
Stop here lying to everybody. I hate when you lie to us.
It'd probably be the Knicks first, though.
Katrina says, you know you want that love from Steve Ballmer. Come on, man. Introductory press conference, a little high thigh grabbing. Come on, man.
That's a heck of a question, though. I don't know.
Kings first, Knicks second. It was Brooklyn third.
I really wouldn't play for the Nets. I wouldn't want to play for the Nets.
That's wild to me.
Part of me says
Brooklyn.
For some
dope.
Reason, Washington. I like the DMV.
Yeah, I mean, that arena is downtown.
I like the DMV, so they might be on the list. Boy, you see how I'm staying out of middle America?
Traffic.
I don't
want to
be anywhere in middle America. No. Maybe New Orleans, but their fans don't care.
Yeah, they really don't. I wouldn't
love New Orleans.
I wouldn't want to do New
Atlanta,
Orleans.
Atlanta. When we went to Atlanta, I was like, damn, I kind of been sleeping on Atlanta for the last 15 years.
See, the problem is, though.
I want to go back.
We really didn't go to Atlanta. We went to Fayetteville.
Well,
right?
Like, you left early. Me and Jazz.
No, that's
the,
not. Don't. No, I don't.
You
no,
did
frame
leave
it.
Early.
No, frame
did.
It properly.
Didn't you leave in the morning?
Oh, you mean left the city? Yeah, we left.
I think we had an evening flight. So yeah. We spent the day. We went downtown.
And how'd that evening flight go for you, by the way?
Bruh. I'll never forget that. Well, where we got stuck was Phoenix.
Yeah, I remember.
Damn it.
Yeah.
I was supposed to do the show. Well, I made it. But I was like, I got to go to work in a couple hours.
I took the 6 a.m. flight because it was the direct flight. That's why I took it.
Yeah.
Like, I just wanted to get home.
That was a good move. But we spent the
Kenny got home like 15 hours after I did.
Really did. I got home like sometime Monday morning. It was supposed to be
crazy.
Sunday night. But we spent the day in Atlanta. I was like, damn.
Oh,
Atlanta.
Okay.
I kind of been sleeping on Atlanta, man. I got to get back out here, man. So I say all this to say, maybe I'd play for the Hawks.
Play for the Hawks.
You know one thing I said that I wouldn't play for? It's not on that list. It's Miami.
You wouldn't play for Miami?
I don't want to say I wouldn't, but they're not before those other cities.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I wouldn't have them above those other cities either.
Miami looked like a nice place to live, though. It's got an L.A. vibe.
Well, you know, everything L.A. is important. Like, that's the way you think is...
I don't know if I'd want to play for the Warriors. I don't think so.
Play at the...
If I had my choice, though, like you,
you
said,
could,
New York is number
like,
one.
You'd play for the Warriors. You literally live here.
No, that'd be like Sabonis.
You'd be like Sabonis, you'd be like Sabonis. So we mentioned before talking to Chicago, and you could get in on the phone lines 916-909-1320. James Hamm coming up at the top of the hour.
I don't know why Kyle says Kenny wearing Hoochie Daddy shorts when he's with the Clippers.
It's a high thigh grabbing. If we ever get the opportunity to interview Steve Ballmer, we're going to play that clip and just ask him, bro, what is happening right here? So we had mentioned right before talking to Chicago that Shannon Sharp is leaving FS1 and Undisputed immediately following the NBA Finals, and much has been written about this divorce in the last few days. And shout out to Awful Announcing, because this is just an incredible tweet for their article on Skip Bayless. The sad, single-minded decay of Skip Bayless has left him the undisputed king of nothing. It might be one of the greatest headlines I've ever read and the most accurate.
That's funny.
Skip, yeah, so So from what I've read is this whole operation at Fox Sports revolves around Skip Bayless. And there were reports, and again, you could you can choose to believe what you want. You know, it's clear that that this particular report had an agenda to it. But it was like Skip is going to have the final say in who's hired to work with him, and he does not want anyone to challenge him. And okay, that's what Fox Sports One is like. That's it revolves around. And the thing with like this is kind of what happened with, you know, when Skip and Stephen A broke up, and Skip went over here, Stephen A was like Stephen A and Max Kellerman. Now it's Stephen A and like a rotating group of guys. It's Mad Dog, it's JJ, it's Kendrick, it's just a variety of different people. Well, FS1 ain't got a roster like that.
Right.
So it could literally be Skip Bayless yelling at himself for an hour. Like I don't know. I told you, like, I really truly do not watch these shows anymore. Like, I hate what sports television has become. But I do see them. You know, I see the clips, and then, of course, I see them. You know, the place where I get the most Skip and Shannon is at the barbershop. And I find Shannon incredibly entertaining. I just always hated that he was across from Skip because I can't stand Skip Bayless.
And it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out for Skip. Because you talk about, like, you see a lot of the clips and all this other stuff. Almost all the clips I would see at this point was Shannon Sharp.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't see nobody clipping anything that Skip says because people look at Skip like a clown. So if he says something, they don't take it serious. They just don't even pay attention to it no more. Everything from that show revolved around a moment Shannon had. And now that he's gone, I don't know. Skip better be the best finder of talent known to man right now, because he can't carry that show anymore.
No, he can't.
You read some things. People feel like that's where their relationship went sour, when Shannon started to become a bigger star on that show than Skip.
Yeah.
And Skip would take the shots and stuff like that, and you know, take little pot shots at him once that started to be the case. But it is what it is, Skip. Like, nobody tuned in for you. It was Shannon, to see what Shannon would say, or to see what Shannon would say to what you said, right? It was never about Skip. So you're losing that element, and maybe I'm the wrong person to talk about, because I, like you, I don't watch those shows, so I don't know what somebody's looking for when they watch that show. But, I don't know what Skip is going to do moving forward.
I feel like with sports, I think that one of the beauties of what we do is we all watch the same thing, right? And we'll take last night's game out of the equation. We'll talk about the Kings.
Yawn.
I need you to stop doing that. We all watch the same thing. Like, we'll all watch the Sacramento Kings play, and whether it's that night or for us the next day, we'll all have opinions on it, and the opinions will vary. We all saw the same thing, but we would have seen it differently. We would have interpreted differently. We would have different takeaways from it. And that's the beauty of this, is that should be the beauty of this, is you could sit down and talk about the different things you saw and how you formed your opinion on Keegan Murray, or how you've formed your opinion on De'Aaron Fox, or the game plan, or the offense, or the defense, or Mike Brown. That's what this is. Like, that's, again, it's something that's, you know, really, it's just one of the great things about sports, is you can see the same thing and have a variety of different opinions on it and discuss it. And I feel like it was the original incarnation of Stephen A. and Skip, where that changed, and it became, and I can't remember the dude's name. I'm afraid I'm going to get it wrong, but I think it's Jamie Horowitz. Jamie Horowitz was a producer at ESPN, and he created, he is the one who is credited with creating this, like, debate television. Mm-hmm. Not PTI, mm-hmm. where you're having two guys discuss something, and if they agree, great. If they don't, great. But it's two educated people having an educated discussion.
Right.
He brought this debate thing where it was, Well, you're an idiot because this happened and this happened. How did you not see this? And it becomes this whole, like, clown show. Mm-hmm. Jamie Horowitz gets fired by ESPN, goes to FS1, grabs Skip Bayless, grabs Colin Cowherd, grabs your boy Broussard, grabs all of those guys, takes them over there, and just tries to recreate the same thing over and over and over again to the point where, like, this stuff is not worth watching anymore. Yeah. And you can sit down. You and I are at games that we interpret very differently. We're sitting next to each other, mm-hmm. and we don't see things the same way. But at no point am I telling you you're crazy for thinking that. At no point am I, like, down talking something that you saw. And it's just become, and at no point are we creating something that we think is going to get views on social media. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, especially for a struggling network like FS1, because it is struggling, mm-hmm. if they have gone full, forget TV, we'll bring interest in by saying something outlandish, cutting it, and getting it out there on social media. Mm-hmm. Because the fact is, we'll have a bigger audience on, as ridiculous as this sounds, we'll have a bigger audience on social media.
Yeah.
Than we actually do on television.
Yeah.
And if we can pull a tiny percentage of people who like that clip over to our television network, we're in good shape. And it hasn't happened yet. They keep trying to do it, and it hasn't happened.
Well, the crazy thing is, like, I don't watch FS1 content, but I see Shannon and Skip's clips.
That's right, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, right. I don't ever watch Undisputed. I don't ever turn the channel to that, but I see the clips. Like, often. So it's working. It's kind of working. Maybe it's not working. The other thing about what you said, where I think the big problem is we disagree. We've disagreed before. And you said you're crazy. I've said you're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's natural, though. The issue that we have with these shows is it's all orchestrated and contrived.
Yeah.
Like, they could be on two separate sides. They have to have two different opinions every time. And it has to be, mine is right, yours is wrong. If you don't think mine is right, you're crazy. It has to be that every time. The reason why, like, we genuinely, if we disagree, it's a genuine disagreement, is we don't always disagree.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's times we're like, yeah, you're right, Damien. I saw the same thing. Yep.
Okay. Then we move on to something else.
Then if we don't, we genuinely like, nah, I disagree.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's nothing wrong with saying, I think you're wrong. That's fine. That's okay. But when it's contrived, when it's all part of
a
show or an act.
Yeah, it's like
that's when it gets ridiculous.
Did you see, I saw a clip again, a clip of JJ. What's that? Mad Dog. He told Mad Dog, and I don't remember. It was like some. They were trash. Mad Dog was trashing Jaylen Brown, and JJ was like, "Dude, you're the absolute worst." And then he goes on to talk about something that you know, in response to what Mad Dog said. And for me, it's like, I already don't like this setup, right? With this guy, I get his place in radio. I don't get his place on my television in 2023.
Right. Yeah.
And for one of the people on the show to go, you are the absolute worst. As a viewer, why would I ever take into credibility what that person says?
Mm-hmm.
It's like we talk about with boxing or a well-told wrestling story. You don't trash your opponent.
Mm-hmm.
You build them up. Like you talked about Floyd. Floyd builds up his opponents to make the fight better.
Every build up. Oh, he's a true champion.
If I'm watching television and I'm looking at JJ Redick going, you're the absolute worst, and I already don't like this guy, and I hear JJ go, God, you are the absolute worst, I'm like, damn, it's not just me. It's just, right. Why would I ever watch that?
Right.
Why would I ever want to hear that individual's opinion? And it's just gotten to the point where I have a tremendous amount of respect for Stephen A. Smith and his work ethic and what he's done in the industry. Whether I like it, I respect his work. Like, we joke, ESPN is the Greeny and Stephen A. network. But those guys are working hard. I don't like it, but they're working hard.
Right.
But the gist is, I don't like it. I don't like what Stephen A. Smith has to say. I respect his work, and I respect his work ethic, but I don't like what he has to say.
Right.
And it's gotten to the point where I dislike it so much. I don't care. Skip hit that years ago. When I started to learn about Skip and his ascension through the Dallas Cowboys, I was like, no.
Yeah.
This is using, like, one thing I just, and I think you and I are the same in this. If you're going to work in this industry, whether it's through writing or podcasting or radio or whatever, don't use athletes as props. They're subjects.
Right.
They're not props. These dudes use them as props. And it's like, the, you know, that, for those that don't know the Skip Bayless Dallas Cowboys thing, he covered the Dallas Cowboys. That's why he talks about them the way that he does. No one gave a damn about Skip Bayless until he insinuated that Troy Aikman was gay in his book. And Troy was like, yo, what? What do you like? What's forming this opinion? Like, just give me some background on this. And that, to me, was the beginning of, oh, okay, this is what we're doing. We're just throwing stuff out there. We're trying. He wasn't trying to get clicks because it was in a book. But he was trying to get attention for his book. He's not the only one who does that, by the way. But still, it's like, you have a living because of, in this particular case, you have a living because of the Dallas Cowboys. You have a roof over your head and food in your stomach because of the Dallas Cowboys, because that's who you cover. And that's how you act. I can't get down with that, man.
I got no interest in Skip Bayless. None whatsoever. Like,
I do have interest in Shannon, though.
Oh, yeah,
I think
sure.
Shannon, like, I watched Shannon's, it was a damn near 2-hour interview with Steve
Club
Harvey.
Shay.
Yeah. And
he's,
I guess,
taking that with him, too.
I guess that was Fox. I guess that was FS1's.
Yeah. Well,
so he gets it. He's taking it with him.
Wherever,
I'm sure it wasn't free.
Right.
But he's taking it with him. But that's a really good show.
Yeah. He does a good job with that.
Probably because Skip ain't involved.
You know what I saw yesterday? That I want to hear what you think about this.
Okay.
Rob Parker was on The Breakfast Club the other day.
Really?
Yeah. And obviously, one of the first things they brought up was, like, the remarks about the Cornball brother that got him fired from ESPN. And hearing, like, just, I don't know what I can't remember what I thought at the time. But it is, I think it's kind of crazy that happened to him because of that. The crazy thing about it is, if he would have said RG3's a cornball, nothing would have happened. And I don't think nothing should have happened because he said cornball brother. He was fired because of that.
Yeah. I don't know. I have feelings about, like, there are certain times where I want to call other black people certain things. And I just recognize you don't do that.
Yeah.
Like, and so, but to your point, well, no. It's like, don't air family business. Do you know what I mean? Like,
but so you're right. But if he would have just said he's a cornball.
But that has, but when you say a cornball brother, that has a connotation to it.
I get you.
It's like using the term Tom. Don't do that in mixed company. Right. You know what I mean? So, but to your original point, like, he got fired for that. Yeah. Like, to your original point, yeah, that's a little, that's kind of a stretch. I'm not the biggest Rob Parker guy.
Yeah, I'm not either. But I haven't watched him in Broussard's show or listened to the pod or whatever. I just watched the interview. And I heard him talk, and I was just like, "Dang, that That was kind of crazy. You got fired because
I would have never guessed Rob Parker was on The Breakfast Club. I'm going to have to check that out. I'm sure it's on my podcast. I'll have to check that out, man. We'll come back. I mentioned this is a perfect transition because we got James Hamm coming up. Stuff you see in these mock drafts. curious to get your thought on. And I'm not trying to disparage them at all. It's just like when a mock draft comes out 4 weeks before the draft, you've got to wonder, like, all right, let's just get this out there and, you know, see if people click on it. Plus, Aaron Judge. I'll make this quick.
All right.
I'll make it quick. I know I'm not the baseball guy, but I came across some Aaron Judge numbers this morning. Mm. My goodness. I'll run those by you with either one, Casey. Brought to you by Sky River Casino. Returns here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
D'Lo and KC continues, streaming live on the Odyssey app.
And also, are the tag team champions just going to walk around with two championship belts from now on? Like, don't we have to, like, turn these two belts into one belt? Like, just acknowledge, hey, we kind of, we're merging.
Or find a way to separate them again.
I think they tried that once with the Usos where they were like, okay, you're defending this title, but not this title. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, they won that match too, so it didn't matter. They wound up having them both.
Well,
and now Sammy and KO got them both.
Well, here's the thing about this whole situation. They're in control of the outcome.
Well, there's that. there's that.
If they want to separate the belts, they can make them lose one of them.
But you've got to make it work in storyline. That's the key. You got to tell a good story to do it. And they've gotten so far in this Roman Reigns thing that I read a rumor last night that they're just creating a new universal title. They're getting rid of the blue and the red title, and they're just making a new title. And it's one belt, so Roman doesn't have to walk around with two of them anymore.
But then essentially they're back to two titles.
They already are back to two titles. They're at three titles. That's right now. You've got two universal. At this exact moment, you have two universal titles, and you have the thing Seth has, which I don't know what it's called. I assume it's called the World Heavyweight title.
Yeah, that's the heavyweight one, I think.
All right.
Come on, man. They got to reel this thing back in. It's getting a little crazy. I was thinking about it last night. There's wrestling on every night.
There really is.
Yeah, it's a little too much.
Yeah.
WWE turned into boxing with their titles now?
That's why. Oh, we didn't mention this. Oh, they're getting pretty damn close. We didn't mention this, but I'm sure you saw the Tony Khan tweet. Or he actually made an announcement. The tweet followed later.
No.
The Saturday AEW show.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We talked about that, yeah.
But did we talk about it after it was announced?
Yeah.
That Punk is back?
No.
Yeah, Punk is back. And it went the way we, because I had read that they were waiting to announce the venue because they didn't want to do it in Chicago unless they knew for sure that Punk was going to be there. And then sure enough, they announced it. I think it's the United Center in Chicago, and CM Punk's return.
I just don't see CM Punk the same way others in wrestling.
It's pretty, well, I don't know that anyone sees CM Punk the way that they did a year and a half ago. This return has not gone well. At all. He's been hurt bad twice, and then you had the issue that happened at that press conference. You know, I don't know how long ago that was now. It was a while ago, though.
I saw Jade, though.
I know you saw Jade.
You saw her in the white.
I've seen Jade in everything. Like, if there's something out there with Jade in it, I saw it.
Jade and Brandon Phillips were somewhere on some car. I was like, man, oh, man.
James Hamm's going to join us. James probably didn't see Jade. He's going to join us at the top of the 3 o'clock hour. Quick thing here, and then we'll move into the Kings. Jason Stark posted these numbers this morning over at The Athletic. I found them incredible. 47 games into his season, Aaron Judge has the same number of home runs that he did last year.
Jeez.
Aaron Judge's numbers, 47 games into his season, they're virtually identical to last year. Now, the caveat to all of that is, I was trying to emphasize 47 games into his season because the Yankees are like 58 games into theirs. So it's not a comp that he's going to put up the same exact numbers that he did last year. But man, he's, goodness gracious,
he's a problem.
He is incredible.
He is amazing to see. I think I saw it earlier this week. I think he had two home runs and robbed somebody of a home run as well. He's a problem.
Boy, he's bad.
He's a problem. Giants this weekend against the Orioles. Have you seen the AL East standings?
Mm-mm.
Everybody's above 500. The best team, the Orioles, I believe, let me look before I think they're 35-21.
That's the Giants' opponent this week, right? You said yeah. Giants and Orioles?
They're 35-20, which is like a shock, like coming out of nowhere. It's almost like the Kings season. Like, Orioles are supposed to be no good.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 35-21.
This is a weird Giants and Orioles. Like, when was the last time that happened?
And maybe it happened since then, but I remember about 3 years ago, the Giants were in Baltimore when I was in Baltimore.
Okay.
And I didn't go.
Oh. Are you even a fan? Are you Giants? Are you Giants, Kenny?
And the timing didn't work out. I would have loved to go. Yes, there's plenty of good seats available at Camden Yards.
Well.
But Orioles are 35-21, 4 games back, because the Tampa Bay Rays are 40-18.
My goodness.
Everybody, yeah, it's still that way. Everybody in the AL East is above 500.
That's incredible.
You compare that to, let's just go to the NL Central, where they only have the league leader is the Brewers at 2 games over 500.
The A's? The A's current record is what?
12-46.
The A's are on pace to go 34-128. I was positive that had to be the worst record of all time.
It's not.
It's not. And what was more fascinating about this, and I've brought this up before, please forgive me for being repetitive, is what Major League Baseball considers the modern era. It's like the 3420, it's got to be the worst. Well, no, because a team, I can't remember what they were called. It's in Jason's, like the Strikers.
What?
That played in like 1899.
Come on, man.
For reasons known to no human being, is still considered the modern era.
That's considered the modern era.
That's what he said.
Come on, man. Come on. They've got the worst record of all time?
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
It was the Cleveland Spiders.
Spiders. Thank you. What did I say? I knew it was something like that. Spiders. Cleveland Spiders. What's the record? Can you see the record?
20-134.
Wow.
Man. Man.
The A's aren't out the woods yet.
Well.
They're not out the woods yet.
If the A's, they continue their pace, they'll have two of the five worst records in baseball history. Philadelphia A's, that's still the A's, right?
Yeah.
A's.
I want to ask you something about the A's in just a second, but I want to ask, this is about the A's too. The second worst run differential in Major League Baseball is the Kansas City Royals with a minus 70.
Wow. Okay.
Obviously, the A's are the worst. You want to take a guess on what their minus
is? Can you give me Kansas City's record?
Kansas City is 17-39.
Oh, my. Okay. Well, that's not good either. 17-39.
Five more wins than the
A's. Minus 70. You just said the A's 12 wins?
12-46.
I'm going to go minus 121.
You want to guess, Jesse?
I was looking at the records again. Run it back.
The run differential. The Royals are second worst with a minus 70. What do you think the A's is?
I think I saw it, but 146, I think.
Minus 195.
Oh, my God.
I was way off still.
Wow.
Minus 195. They are 125.
Wow. What's the Rays? I assume the Rays are the best.
Yeah, this is crazy, too. They're plus 119.
Goodness gracious. You know we're talking baseball. Ramsey's going to call. Ramsey, what's going on, man?
And not too much. And the Rays are not the best run differential team in the majors.
They are not. You're right.
It's Bochy in Texas.
Bruce Bochy. Them boys are again.
Hey, them boys are balling. I'm trying to find a way to get out to Oracle this weekend because the Baltimore is good. That's a good baseball team.
They are.
You got to starts with Adley Rutschman, their catcher, and then they've got a few other young prospects. They finally put it all together. You could almost say it's looking similar to the Kings. You finally get the year that they put it together, and here's what you got.
Mm. Yeah, now Baltimore, I like the Orioles just as an organization, you know, because now I got my Baltimore ties. Shout out to Cheryl in Baltimore. And also, do you know that, have you seen that the Orioles have a section called the Bird Bath section?
I have not.
Where I think it's just extra base hits. I don't even think it's a home run. Every time there's an extra base hit in this section beyond center field, they get sprayed with water, everybody in that section. And they go crazy for it.
Okay. I believe it.
Sit in the bird
Who has section. The pool? That's Tampa Bay, right?
Or Tampa? Arizona.
Oh, Arizona has the pool. Okay.
Yeah. Arizona right. Tied for first place with the Dodgers.
There you go.
Sorry, Mitch. Oh, real quick, because we got James.
Bring James in. James loves well, love.
Did you
baseball.
See Jake's story? Jake, our guy Jake Gaydon over at CBS 13?
I did not, no.
So
I saw he posted it. I didn't get a chance
a
to watch
piece
it.
On, so I guess Sacramento is trying to lay in the weeds for the A's. Because okay. This Vegas thing is...
It's sketchy.
Sketchy at best. One of the person who makes the final decisions, I guess, in the Las Vegas legislator or whatever, this lady said, right now I'm at a hell no. So I don't know what's happening with that. But the guy, I forgot who it was. He's like the founder of the Sacramento Visitation Center or something, Bureau or whatever. He was on that piece that Jake was talking about. I was like, look, man, we're ready to make this happen. Like, we're ready to do this. Once Las Vegas falls through, we need the commissioner to come listen to us because we're ready to make this happen.
Hmm.
So,
Hammer, what do you think of that?
I saw it. I was intrigued. First of all, like, he's not any kind of decision maker.
He really isn't. It's like you and me.
Yeah, I mean, I could have gone and done an interview and said random things as well. You know, like, I get it. It's first of all, the situation in Las Vegas is a huge mess. Like, they're having all kinds of infighting right now, from what I read, just on their own budgets before they even get to the A's stuff. The A's have chosen not to show up for any of the public meetings. They haven't been there to present to the council or anything else. They have until Monday to close the financing deal, or a special session has to be called because the end of their basic, you know, fiscal year stuff ends and they're leaving. So like the whole thing is a total mess in Las Vegas. And it's, you're looking at Oakland and saying, hey, we have everything approved. We have two different sites approved. We have $400 million in cash with another $100 million coming in. The biggest issue is that in Oakland, they wanted a $12 billion like development, like this massive, massive project. And it all came down to like $88 million in overruns and in infrastructure that that the city of Oakland and the A's had not yet come to an agreement on. And then the A's just like backed out and left and went and did their thing in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a mess. And John Fisher, I guess, just maybe doesn't have the liquid cash that he once did. He's a primary shareholder in Gap. And Gap prices, their stock prices have plummeted from like $35 in January or February of 2021 all the way down to like $8.50 today. And so his net worth has taken a massive hit, but also his liquidity, like his cash on hand to actually do anything. And so I think it's really interesting. Someone easily could swoop in. We already know that Vivek and of course John Fisher are friends. He came and sat courtside near the end of the season next to Vivek. So I'm intrigued by it, especially with Vivek buying the Rivercats. From what I know, you cannot retrofit that stadium without tearing down a whole bunch of it to actually turn it into a major league park. But there's still room right there in the rail yards to drop in a baseball stadium. So all of this could happen. You just don't know.
It's really hard to believe such a well-run organization like the Oakland A's is having trouble getting this relocation nailed down. It's it's truly...
I can't believe it's happening.
I'm sure you can hear it in my voice. It's stunning.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.